Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Color Your Life Happy for Monday, May 23rd, 2011. I'm your host, Flora Brown, coming to you live from Anaheim, California, as I do every Monday at 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Today's show will inform, inspire, and encourage you. In a moment, we will begin today's episode, Color Your Life Happy, How to Juggle Your Busy Life with Less Struggle, with my guest, Jean Caton. But first, I want to welcome all of you, my listeners. I'm so honored that you made space in your schedule to join us because I know you have lots of other things to do. That's what the show is about today. If you enjoy the show now, don't keep it a secret. Tell other people about it so they can benefit as well. Now, on my show page at blogtalkradio.com/Flora Brown, I invite you to click the Follow the Show link. When you do that, what's going to happen is you'll get a reminder in your email about the show. Also, add yourself as a friend of the show. You can do that right on my show page. And you may also follow me on Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, all of those places. And you can see how to do that on my show page as well. Now, have you always wanted to write a book, but you hesitated because you didn't know how to get started? Or maybe you're one of those people who you've been writing pages for years, months, years, decades even, but you don't know how to get your book published. Well, if this sounds like you, I have created a workshop that will help you go from choosing your title, book cover, how to get your book written quickly, marketing your book, and getting it printed. This workshop is called How to Write Your Nonfiction Book in 90 Days, Even If You're an Ordinary Person and Hated High School English. Most important in this workshop, I'm going to tell you how to start earning money from your book even before it's finished. Now, this workshop is available as a live workshop here in Southern California or as a home study course that you can complete in the comfort of your home. To get the details, go over to my homepage, coloryourlifehappy.com, and you'll see the information there and the sign-up is there and so forth. Now, on this radio show, Color Your Life Happy, we talk about ways to create the lasting happiness you deserve in all areas of your life. To get at that goal, each week I interview guests from fields such as self-help, spiritual journeys, relationships, change in adversity, parenting, wealth creation, career, you name it. We talk about all those things that lead to your happiness. Today's episode is How to Juggle Your Busy Life with Less Struggle with my guest, Jean Caton, the Business Women's Coach. Jean brings a practical perspective and unique insight to her speaking, coaching, and writing because she has learned what it takes to succeed during her 22 years in corporate America, and now as an entrepreneur. Jean gets the challenges of businesswomen and entrepreneurs because she is one. Jean helps her clients believe and become a business success. Women who work with Jean develop confidence, learn to more successfully navigate the business world, overcome barriers, land top jobs, and make more money. Jean specializes in coaching professional women in the healthcare industry and entrepreneurs in the health, wellness, and other helping professions. I have had the pleasure of being a student in Jean's workshop, so I know firsthand of her work. It is my pleasure to welcome Jean Caton. Hi, Jean.
Hi, Flora. So great to be here.
Thank you. Thank you for making time. And even though I said at the top of the show that I'm in California, you're in St. Louis, my hometown.
Yes, I am, but I am a transplanted Midwesterner, so listen to me for a few seconds and you'll know this is not a St. Louis accent, but I'm originally from the East Coast, but I've been here since 1987.
Oh, so you're almost a native.
Huh? Almost.
Almost. Well, yeah. You know, today's topic is very timely because it seems that no matter how our lives are going, there's plenty enough stress out there in the world for all of us. And so being high on stress, drama, and adrenaline seems to be the result of living the kind of busy lives we lead. And it just seems almost unavoidable to be stressed. Is this lifestyle harmful to our health?
Yeah, it certainly is. And we certainly are not living our lives a colorful, happy life when we're all stressed out and frazzled. But that's stress is definitely linked to several health issues. And that's the obvious ones that we know about, such as heart disease, backaches, headaches, muscle aches, and things like that. But high stress releases a lot of chemicals in the body that are harmful. And we all know the example of, like, college students who get sick more often during final exam time, get more colds and stuff. So it definitely affects our immunity. And there's been a lot of recent research that I find really interesting because my background is in nutrition and health, is a lot of us we know quite commonly turn to food when we're stressed.
Mm. And yes.
So that's pretty negatively correlated with our weight. So
yes.
They've found that there's a good reason for that and that there's a certain chemical in our body that gets released that causes us to crave certain foods, especially sweet and greasy foods. You know, if anyone ever says, I'm stressed, I want something to eat, they want chocolate, they don't want fruits and vegetables.
Nope.
So even if you're watching your weight, work on your stress.
Mm.
Yeah.
So it's not something that we can just take lightly and think it only affects one area. It sounds like it affects all the areas of our lives that are important to us.
It sure does, and I think we all know how we get irritable and short-tempered, but it's what's going on inside our bodies that's even more serious. Yeah.
And you know what? When I hear people say that these are stressful times that we're in, I always think about the fact that haven't all times been stressful throughout history?
Well, I guess it probably has. But it's certainly no better these days, and I think it's pretty funny because over the recent decade or so, they've introduced all these high-technology gadgets, which you think would reduce your stress and save us time, make life easier. But to tell you the truth, they've really done the opposite. And it was so funny the other day. I was sitting at my desk, and I keep my calendar on my computer, and I sync it to my iPhone, and I recently won an iPad. So now I
sync
my iPad. Well, 10 minutes before the call, I get an alarm, and all of a sudden it was like a symphony orchestra. The computer goes off, the phone goes off, the iPad goes off. So I'm saying, what happened to the simple little day timer? But
I don't know.
it's like ridiculous. But on a serious note, we're just trying to do too much. I think we're trying to do more than ever, because we have these tools and more women are working than, years ago. And most of my clients are women, and they can be very stressed because they have the main family relationship to manage, their job, their house. And even kids today have their own calendar. And, the first thing I'd suggest is a tip is learn that no is a full sentence. And stop taking on everything.
That's a very good tip because I was thinking when you were talking about your gadgets, I was thinking that just because these gadgets exist, and even because we own them, doesn't mean that we have to engage with them all the time. They have off buttons, and they have mute buttons, and heaven forbid, we can even leave them at home, when we go places. So we do have an option of saying no. It doesn't have to be a permanent no when it comes to our gadgets, but we certainly have to be selective, because if we are on call, on stage all the time, then we're just asking for stress. That's exactly what you're saying.
Yes, that's exactly what I'm saying. And, you know, you took those words out of my mouth about having the choice to shut off our phone or to check our email three times a day instead of every 2 minutes when, we hear a beep that another email is coming in. And think about it. You know, when we're on an airplane, we have to shut our phones off. And if it's a 1 hour, 2 or 3 hour flight, we survived, didn't we?
Oh, my goodness, yes.
Yeah.
Of course, now they have Wi-Fi on the plane, you know. So we can get on our computers.
I know, but, you know, we really think we're indispensable, and we've fallen down the slippery slope of thinking the world is going to end if we don't answer our phone and check our emails and do all that all the time. So we do have a choice, and many of us are not choosing to use that off button.
Yep. Right. And to use them, balance the use of them and not feel like we have to be on all the time. Before we get any further along, I want to have you tell listeners how they can contact you, because as you share your tips today, I'm sure there are going to be people that wonder how they can get in touch with you for your coaching, your speaking, and some of those things. So tell us the best contact information for you.
Sure. Thanks, Flora. It's Jean Caton. First of all, I want to be sure you spell my name right. It's often misspelled. It's J-E-A-N, but the last name is C-A-T, like cat, then O-N, like on. So it's Caton, but C-A-T-O-N, .net/archive/. That will take you to my newsletter archive, where I've written a lot on related topics like this. And, of course, my new my website itself is just jeancaton.net. But I'm also on Twitter, Facebook, and LinkedIn. I was an early adopter there, so it's under my very own name, Jean Caton.
Wow.
So you can find me there. And love to have you check out more about me. And I'm going to have a special offer for you at the end of the call about a coaching session I'd like to mention.
That's cool. Thank you. Let's talk about stress, what it really is, because sometimes we want to dismiss stress or try to get rid of it altogether, but let's talk about what it really is.
Yeah, it's so interesting. When we say the word stress, everybody knows exactly what you're talking about, but what does it really mean, I'm so stressed? What is stress? Stress isn't like something you can fill a box up with stress, or, you know, you can't put it in your rubbish barrel and throw it away. I mean, what is stress? And there's a definition. I think it's the American Institute of Stress, if you believe there's an Institute of Stress. But
yes,
I think that's where I got this. It says there really is no definition for stress, and it has a different effect on different people. So probably if you ask 12 people what's stressful, you'd probably get 12 different answers. But my definition is it's a nonspecific response to a situation, and we feel it like physically, mentally, or emotionally. And what's important about that is because it's nonspecific, we have a little bit more control over it than we think, because if we perceive something as a threat, we're going to feel stressed.
Yes.
And I think the best example for that is something like public speaking. For some people, public speaking, well, actually, it's the biggest stressful thing there is, I think, even ahead of death. But for some people, public speaking is a huge stressor, because they perceive it to be some sort of a harmful, dangerous, risky thing, when in reality, that's just all in their heads. So we feel the stress because we perceive this some kind of danger, and really the only danger is people won't like what you said, but you have to get over that if you can do public speaking. But it's a physiological response that we had in the past when there was real danger. Physiologically, if a lion is chasing us to eat us for dinner, we want to feel stressed because it helps us run away and take action. But in reality today, to say, well, we must do this long laundry list of activities, I want you to challenge that, because that's what causes the stress. We think it's absolutely imperative and awful things will happen if we don't.
Mm-hmm.
But and that's what causes us to be stressed. So the reality is part of reducing stress and juggling with less struggle is to realize we can think a little bit differently about those must-dos. And maybe if we don't get them all done, it's not quite as critical as we previously were thinking about.
So changing our thinking and the way we perceive things is a biggie. And another thing that came to mind when you were giving that example, in the case of public speaking, of course, if we have agreed to speak and we're about to go on stage, that's a real-life situation that we must adjust our thinking about in order to survive it. But some of the stress we encounter, we bring on ourselves, such as turning on the news or watching a scary movie or some such thing. A lot of that kind of stress is very much within our power to turn off because if it's going to bring us stress, why bring that into our lives?
You know, it's so funny that you say watching scary movies. When I visit my family, they watch The Amazing Race, and I go upstairs and go to bed because I cannot sit there and watch this exciting show, which on the East Coast time where my family lives, it's on right before my bedtime, because I get all revved up.
Right.
I have to leave the room. But, it's absolutely true. We can limit some of the stress in that we bring into our lives.
Mm-hmm.
And when we feel the stress, such as public speaking, you know, we can do things like breathe, and that's probably deep breaths, probably one of the most calming things that we can even do. So, it's definitely something that we have more control over than we sometimes believe.
I've heard you talk about the frog in the boiling water story. Would you tell us that story?
it's kind of a fun analogy about stress and struggle, and I'm not sure where I first heard it or read it because I didn't make it up, but it's a wonderful analogy for what happens or has been happening in our society when it comes to all that we're trying to juggle. And the story says that if a frog is placed in boiling water, it won't die, but if it's placed in cold water, it probably will. Now, I don't know. I don't want you testing this out on your son or daughter's pet frog, but the analogy meaning if it jumps into a pot of boiling water, it's going to jump out again because it's not going to die. But if it's placed in cold water, the water gradually gets a little warmer and a little warmer and a little warmer, and it may not even notice it. And eventually it reaches the point where it will die from the heat in the water. Mm-hmm. And I love to think about trying to juggle and do it all that way, because I think we gradually have got to a point that we haven't even noticed increase in the things we do. And we already talked about technology, but think about the social time we spend on social media like Facebook or Twitter or LinkedIn or whatever. We just keep adding things and adding things, and then all of a sudden we wake up one day kind of like the frog in the boiling water, and boy,
the water's gotten hot all of a sudden,
And maybe
we realize
jump out. And, you know, so people are a lot smarter than frogs, but sometimes we maybe don't use that smart so well.
That's a great story, because some of the things that we have overwhelmed ourselves with, you're right, if we stepped into this period of time in our lives from another period, we would realize how frantic and crazy everything is and perhaps would elect to jump out. But it has happened to us gradually. And I think one of the big problems you just alluded to was we keep adding things without subtracting anything.
Exactly.
So if you keep adding things to your life but you don't cut out something or cut back, then you are asking for overwhelm for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the perfect comment. That's exactly the meaning of that little vignette. Yep.
Now, could you give us some other life coaching tips? You've talked about the fact that no is a full sentence. You've talked about thinking differently about our so-called must-dos that we put in our heads. And then you've talked about when you are about to approach a situation like public speaking, to take a deep breath, to take maybe several deep breaths. What are some other things we could do to help reduce our stress?
Well, I think that perhaps one of the most important things after building that no muscle and some of the other things that I've said is to believe that it's possible. You know, I think we have given up thinking it's even a reasonable goal to live in a stress-free zone or a lower stress zone.
Mm.
So we just go along with it. So one thing, if we believe we do have a choice to reduce our stress, that's the first thing. And then we need to make that a commitment or a priority in our lives. And that takes a lot of discipline. But one way to do that and to get some support is if you declare the fact that you're working to reduce the stress in your life and you tell others, just like with any goal, if you tell others, it sort of raises the commitment a little bit to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And you may even want to ask those other people to respect your commitment.
Yes.
And that's a good place to start.
Yeah, I like that, declaring it to other people and then making a commitment yourself, because soon after you declare it and make that commitment, there will be a test. And
yes.
At that point, you have to be ready to say no, or to do something like stop whatever you're doing, reassess the situation, and make a new decision. So making that commitment and declaring it to other people is one thing, but being ready to actually step up and do it is extremely important, extremely important.
Yep. And I know for me, one of the things that really reduces the struggling and the stress in my life is I have certain foundational things like sleep, eat, exercise with a certain routine, and I honor that fitness regime quite closely, and boy, do I get off balance without it. So I had an important phone call. Someone was trying to get a hold of me, and we were missing. And so finally I said, well, I'm available at like 1 o'clock and 2 o'clock today or whatever. And so then the phone immediately rang because I guess she knew I was at the computer telling her I was available. So she thought, I can catch her. And she said, I'm calling you right now because I know you're not available. And I said, well, okay, 5 minutes. But the reason I'm not available is I'm on my way out the door to a gym class, but I do have 3 to 5 minutes. But it's a boundary that we need to, just like you say, it'll be challenged. So that's one more important thing that I think is important for us to, that's within our control to really say that. And then the other thing is we need to look at the root cause of our stress. It's not the busyness, it's something below that. And for many, many women, it's we stayed tied up in the problem, we might dramatize the problem, and it just gives it life when we repeat over and over again about how a stressful thing happened today. So, but really for a lot of women, it's about not wanting to say no because we'll hurt other people's feelings. Or we want to please them. So for a lot of people, the root cause is something around pleasing or not wanting to disappoint people. So we say we'll do it, even though We know we shouldn't be doing it because we're too busy. And I like to remind people, saying no to others is saying yes to yourself.
Wow, you came right out of my book with that. I said that in my book. The importance of saying yes to yourself, no to other people.
Hey, well, I'll tell you, we're in sync then, Flora. We always knew we were, right, from the first time we met.
Right. That's right. And I think the things that you're sharing are very true, more for women than for men, because most of the men in my life have no problem saying no. As a matter of fact, I can remember long ago when I asked my husband to fill in for me one day when I had to go to a conference and run the kids around to their various activities. When I got through describing to him what I wanted him to do that day, he said, I can't do that. I mean, it just was crazy to him to do all the stuff that I did as a routine.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that women are much more victim of this, much more likely to be stressed, because we do tend to overload. We tend to worry about pleasing. And, of course, managing your family and kids is a priority.
Mm-hmm.
But nevertheless, you have to balance that as well with some time for yourself, with sleeping and eating right, exercise, all the things you just mentioned, not to mention breaths and meditation, prayer, some of those other things.
Yes, yep. And we're the nurturing part of the species, you know, the female species, and we take that too far. And you brought up some self-care, and that brings up another tip that I have, is we have to get over the guilt, you know.
Yes.
Get over the guilt about taking care of ourselves and setting those boundaries, because if self-care, it needs to come first, because it can make you a better manager at work, more successful in your business, a better parent, or whatever it takes. Because, you know, if you're have a better balance, then you're not going to lose it quite so easily.
Right, right. And I think people appreciate you more when you do practice self-care. I know my children have told me that. They appreciate the fact that I set boundaries, that I take care of myself.
Yep.
And I think that we have to remember that too. We're teaching our children and the world how we want to be treated by how we treat ourselves.
That is so true. I mean, if you do have children, you're a role model. And certainly for me as a coach, if I don't practice what I preach, then how could I have ethically coach other people? And whenever I like recommend a business tool or something else to people, if I haven't used it or practiced it, I always say so. But when it comes to reducing stress and juggling with less struggle, I definitely do my very best to practice some of these things I have mentioned.
Oh, great. You know, we have 1 minute left.
Mm-hmm.
So you mentioned something you wanted to share with the listeners.
Yes, I would like to first of all say, for your homework, I want you to notice how you spend your time and eliminate one thing that you can stop doing. And that's your homework for everybody listening.
All right.
The second thing is, I want to offer people that would like a complimentary session with me. All they have to do is email me, and I will give you a 30-minute complimentary session on examining the stress in your life and where you can reduce stress. So you can go, you can get this information by requesting free session at jeanekaten.net.
And right, mention, so free, is that the email, session at jeanekaten.net?
That's correct. And mention that you heard about it on Blog Talk Radio with Flora Brown, and you'll get your free session.
All right. And I want to tell you, those sessions are worth a lot. I got a great session from you about pricing a while back. I don't know if you remember. That was last year. So thank you so much. We're out of time. The show is going to end in a few seconds. Thank you, Jean, for taking time to be here.
You're very welcome.
And thank you. listeners, for tuning in. I'm going to ask you to tune in again next week. We're going to have another great show for you. And, of course, the show will be available for you to listen to again over on my show page, blogtalkradio.com/Flora Brown. Have a wonderful rest of the week, and don't forget...
Color your life happy.
Color.
Every day you can choose. If you choose happy, there's no way you can lose.
Color your life happy.